WCHL's Avery Trendle is watching the game. He's here now in WCHL studios. And Avery, what do you make of the Tar Heels today?
I think they look pretty good, Aaron. I'm looking at Theo Pinson especially as the guy that I think is going to carry this team as they go further and further. He's definitely the glue guy covering the big man on defense, playing the four position. He's handling the ball on the offensive end more and more as things go along. And I think that's what the Tar Heels need from him, is to be the top playmaker. Joel Berry, yes, he's the point guard. But as far as playmaking skills, Theo's the guy that's going to draw everybody in, gets the defense to collapse on him when he makes moves to the hoop, finds all the open shooters. And I think what you have is a unique UNC team that we really haven't seen too often, you know, because it's usually the traditional two big men down low that they're feeding inside, where I think Theo has made this a team that can spread the floor and shoot and kind of play a more modern style of basketball.
And he's been kind of a leader off the court for the last couple of years. He was the intangible last year, and this year, like, he's really starting to put up the numbers, not just in points, but sort of down on the stat line as well. And the play that I remember from this game that I'm going to take from it, and I think the Tar Heel Sports Network made it the play of the game, so I'm not the only one, is the one where Joel Berry, like, pulls up, launches this off-balance three from nowhere, bounces off the backboard, doesn't even hit the rim, but there's Theo Pinson, grabs the ball, puts it up and in, and saves Joel Berry from getting chewed. Actually, I'm sure he's getting chewed out by Roy Williams now for that, but saves him from an even bigger getting chewed out by Roy, and that's Theo Pinson. That's what he does.
Right, and I think it's just a new level of confidence. He's been this player. He's always had the ability to dribble, you know, to pass and to do all these different things, but I think now, as a senior, knowing that he has to take on this larger role, he doesn't have Kennedy Meeks down low to rely on. He doesn't have Marcus Page back there. I mean, there's just guys, Justin Jackson, you know, the list goes on. I think he knows that things kind of run through him, and feeling that added responsibility, he's really responded. You know, they say diamonds are made under pressure or whatever. I think that's what you're seeing from Theo Pinson right now. And everybody's asking him, you know, after the games, you know, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? It's always been there. This isn't skill. He's not showing us new skills that haven't been. I think he's just getting a higher usage rate. The ball's in his hands more.
18 turnovers. Obviously, Carolina's going to have to work on that if they're going to get further into this tournament. Anything else that you saw today that Carolina's going to need to step up on against teams like Texas A&M?
I think Sterling Manley, what we saw from him today, 6 points, 10 rebounds off the bench. A team like Texas A&M, they're front court is what carries them. They had the two big men yesterday. I heard a stat on the CBS broadcast said they're the front court for Texas A&M, Williams and Davis. They became the first duo since 2007 to record at least 14 rebounds apiece the same game.
Yeah.
And that was Al Horford and Joakim Noah from Florida, gone on to great NBA careers. So I think with this undersized lineup that the Tar Heels have, facing off against a team that's front court heavy, it's going to be really interesting, especially knowing what UNC's history is and, you know, having to kind of face off against themselves in a way.
Have we seen a team like that before with a really, really strong front court? What does this compare to?
I would say probably the closest you're going to see. I mean, you'd think of Duke, obviously. Mm-hmm. Texas A&M is not Duke. They don't necessarily have the guards like the Grayson Allens and the Trevon Duvalls around them. But with Marvin Bagley and Wendell Carter inside, you saw Luke May and Theo Pinson struggled a little bit once the ball did find its way into the post. It was kind of tough. You know, they could front, they could prevent the passing inside to them, but once they catch it in deep, it's a little bit hard to stop players that big and that strong with the lineup that we currently have. So putting out Manley and having Brooks come out there and play some good defense, Garrison Brooks, I think is going to be huge for us in the second round.
So we've got Avery Trendle here in the studio, WCHL on chapelboro.com. We'll have his report up on the website soon if it's not up already.
It's already
up
there.
In the process of working on it. It's already up there. So tell us about give us your thoughts on the Tar Heels run through the rest of the tournament. You got Texas A&M coming up on Sunday, Houston or Michigan after that if we get that far. How do you see us going?
Right. I did a preview earlier in the week on Chapelboro, you know, kind of laying out the run that UNC would face up to the Final Four. And really, a lot of people have talked about the Tar Heels getting a soft bracket. And I think some ways that is kind of what you're seeing. Texas A&M, like I said, I think will give some challenges with their front court. But then you look at a team like Michigan, who's been hot lately, but they played the Tar Heels in November. And quite frankly, UNC had their way with them, I think led by as many as 29 points in the second half. Couldn't do anything with Luke May. I think Michigan kind of likes to spread the ball around, kind of play a similar style as UNC. It just kind of matches up well with what the Tar Heels like to do. And then you look over on the other side of the bracket, you've got Ohio State still in it. Tar Heels have already beaten them by double digits this year. Xavier as a number one seed, it's their first time as a one seed for their program. So we'll see how they handle that moving forward. It isn't a very experienced team. And then the other threat you would look at would be Gonzaga, who, you know, UNC handled in last year's title game. That would be an interesting rematch should they meet in the Elite Eight. But I don't see there being a team that is just head and shoulders above the Tar Heels the way that you would look at, you know, Virginia, where it was proven that they can kind of clamp down on what this group does.
Did we get the win on Sunday, and what's the final score?
I'm saying UNC is going to get the win. It's going to be a tight game. I'll say 79-76.
Ooh, that's a really tight game.
Tight game.
I think the one thing that I don't think we've said yet on the air, and I don't think they said it in the postgame show, UNC was a 19.5-point favorite today in Vegas. So they were up 20 until Lipscomb hit those two rando free throws at the end of the game. So there are some people in Vegas that are upset right
now.
They
opened as 18-point favorites, which I did something I took note of, and when the final score ended up being 18, you know, you kind of shrug your shoulders and say, you know, who runs these things?
But. Yeah. They did it right. Avery Trendle, thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.